The scripture reading is taken from Romans chapter 6, verses 20 to 22. When you were slaves to sin, you were free from the control. You were free from the control of righteousness. What you were free from. What benefit did you reap at the time from the things you are now ashamed of? Those things result in death. But now that you have been set free from sin and have become slaves to God, the benefit you reap leaps to holiness, and the result is eternal life.
Yeah, I appreciate it, man. All right, well, we are still in our series. In fact, we're going to conclude our series today entitled ID. And for those of you that are just coming in on this series, what we've been talking about is our identification, who we are in Jesus Christ. And some of the things that we've discussed so far is in Christ, we are His ambassadors. In Christ, we are God's masterpiece. In Christ, we're not just conquerors, we are more than conquerors. In Christ, we are divine influencers. And last week, we talked about how in Christ, we are His disciples. Now, I've been saving this one for the last. Okay, I haven't told anyone about this lesson today. Because, I'm just going to warn you that this last piece of identification is going to be tough. Some of you are not going to like this lesson. So I'm just going to go ahead and lay that out there. In fact, I'm just going to jump right into our next piece of identification, and that is this: in Christ, we are slaves. And I realize, man, this is hard for some of you to see. I mean, some of you are thinking, slave, do you realize what a slave is? And in Christ, I'm a slave? Now stay with me on this. I realize this is hard to see. It's like back in the 90s when my parents bought one of those books that had all the patterns in it. And if you looked at it long enough in a certain way, you would see this 3D image. How many of you know what I'm talking about? And so just imagine, mom and dad, they buy this book, and they're sitting on the couch just like this, and they're, oh. My brother and sister on each side are going, wow, that's amazing. That is awesome. This is crazy. Now here's me, okay? They're all looking at the book. They're seeing the 3D image. And I'm going, what are y'all looking at? All I see is a bunch of squiggly lines. And they say, well, you got to stare at this thing long enough. And so I'm just like this, man. My eyes, I've been staring so long, are starting to water. I mean, I've got no tears left in my eyes. They're just drying out on me. And I'm staring at this thing. And I'm telling them, I'm not seeing anything. And they're like, well, maybe you need to tilt your head. So here I am. I'm tilting my head. I've got my eyes on this thing. And I'm watching this book. I am looking for something absolutely amazing. And I stare at this thing. And I stare at this thing. Nothing. Finally, I said, look, tell me what it is. And they're like, no, it's a surprise. You've got to see it for yourself. And so I keep staring at this book, and I'm twisting my head every which way. And finally, man, out pops this 3D image. And it's a sailboat. A sailboat. I'm thinking this thing is going to revolutionize my life, okay? We're not talking a fancy sailboat. We're talking like just something a kid would draw. A sailboat. That was the amazing image that I was supposed to see. Today's lesson is going to be like one of those books. It's going to be hard to see, so you're going to have to stay with me. Some of you right now are thinking to yourself, well, Slate, I can already tell you, when I came to Christ, I didn't sign up for this. I didn't sign up to be a slave. I thought if I came to Christ, that meant I was going to be forgiven. If I came to Christ, you know, that meant that all my sins were completely washed away. You know, when I came to Christ, I thought it was about forgiveness and mercy and grace. But let me tell you something. I didn't sign up for slavery. Stay with me. Let me share with you two words this morning. Very basic lesson. The first lesson, or the first word rather, is Lord. Now that word Lord is found some 750 times in the New Testament. And Jesus is referred to as what? As Lord, right? He was referred to as Lord by His disciples. Those who needed healing would call out to Him, Lord. And even Jesus Himself referred to Him as Lord. And those of you today, I guarantee you, the majority of you who have come to Christ tell people, Jesus is my Lord and my Savior, right? Jesus is Lord. We sing about it. Jesus is Lord, my Redeemer. But here's where the problem comes in, the meaning of that word. In our minds, we think that word means God. When I say Jesus is Lord, I think that it means divine. It means divinity. It means Jesus Christ is the creator of the universe. And let me tell you something, He is all those things. But that's not what that word means. If you look at that word in the original Greek, it is the word kurios, and it means owner or master. And so when we say Jesus is Lord, we're not saying Jesus is God. Even though Jesus referred to Himself throughout Scriptures as God. But when people would call out Lord, they weren't saying Jesus is God, because that would have been blasphemous. You know, people could have been stoned for that. They would have been kicked out of the temple, because that's how the religious leaders felt about Jesus. He's not God. He's not the Son of God. And for them to call that out and to claim that, they would have been in some big trouble. And so when they would say Jesus is Lord, when His disciples would call Him Lord, what they were meaning was something totally different. It means owner. It means master. Now, the other word that I want us to look at this morning is the word doulos. Because in the Greek, that word means slave. Now, here's the thing. You can't be an owner or a master without a what? Without a slave. Jesus is our Lord. He is our master. He is given that title in the New Testament some 130 times. And you say, well, Slate, you know, when I look at my translation, it doesn't use the word slave. It uses the word servant. Well, that was not a real good translation. Not saying your translation is bad, but that's not a real good translation of the word, because in the first century, the only translation for doulos was slave. That was it. And so as we look at these two words, kurios, which means Lord, and doulos, which means slave, we begin to understand our relationship with Christ. We begin to see who we are in Jesus Christ. But so many times, we don't want to see this. But here's the problem. We can't call Jesus Lord without declaring ourselves His slave. That's what we're saying when we refer to Him as Lord. He is my Lord. He is my owner. He is my master. I am His slave. And I know that's tough to swallow because when we think of Lord, we think, well, that means He's the teacher and I'm the student. That means that He's the leader and I'm the follower. That means that He is the master and I am His servant. No, that means that He is the master. And we are the slave. And you say, slave, man, I cannot believe you're teaching this lesson today. I brought visitors with me. I mean, slave, who in their right mind would want to be a slave? And trust me, listen to me this morning. No one wants this to be more attracting than I do. But that's it, folks. You say, I can't believe you are. I can't believe you're teaching this lesson. I mean, you've gone through all these others, ambassador. That, hey, there's nothing wrong with that. Reflecting, you know, God here on this earth, representing Him. Masterpiece, that sounds so wonderful. And more than a conqueror, we overcome through Christ. And we're these divine influencers. We're influencing the world and disciple. We're following Jesus, but slave, a slave. No one wants to be a slave. Throughout history, no one ever wanted to be a slave. That's not true. Look at Deuteronomy chapter 15. In the Old Testament, there was something called a bond slave. And a bond slave was someone who had some sort of debt. And they didn't have the finances or anything enough to pay that debt. And so they would pay the debt by giving themselves as a slave to that individual. And God set rules for that. He said, listen, if someone is going to be your bond slave, then you can only do that for 6 years. But after those 6 years have passed, you're to set them free. But there were some just start reading verses 16 through 17, who wanted to remain with the master. But if your slave says to you, I don't want to leave you, because he loves you and your family and has a good life with you, sticking all through his ear into the door, he will be your slave for life. Also do this to the female slaves. Are you getting this? In other words, there were some people who had been slaves for 6 years, and at the end of those 6 years, it was time for them to be set free. But before they were set free, they went to their master and they said, we don't want to be set free. You are such an awesome master and you have made my life so much better that I want to serve you for the rest of my life. Didn't happen very often. But occasionally, someone would say, I don't want to be free. And God says, when that happened, He says, you take an awl, kind of like a nail, and you put a hole in their ear into the doorpost. as a sign that that's what they want to do. And then typically what would happen is they would fill their lobe in with an earring. Let me just go a little deeper here. Let's talk about what a bond slave is, and I'm going to give you some parallels to who we are in Christ. First of all, a bond slave was a slave for life. Going back to that hole in the earring, what they were saying to everyone else, when people saw that earring in their ear, what they would know about that slave is this: they have chosen to be a slave for life. This is a lifelong commitment. They have chosen to remain with the Master. And you think about that from a spiritual perspective. When we come to Jesus Christ, like that bond slave, we are saying, Jesus, I am committing my life to you forever. Revelation chapter 2, verse 10, John writes, he says, remain faithful until death. And when you come to Christ, that is the commitment that you are making. I'm not trying to scare those that are visiting with us today, but you need to know, you need to hear the warning that this isn't one of those things that you commit to and then say, oh well, forget it. I tried. This isn't really what I wanted to do. But sadly, as you many times look around, there are those who, that's kind of the way they do their relationship with Christ. You know, there's not a whole lot of commitment. It's even hard just to get them to show up and worship God. Commitment just isn't there. The study time, the prayer time, and I know that we all fall to that at times. Satan is after us. He's trying to steal our hearts, but there are some who've just said, you know, this isn't a real big deal. It is a big deal. You're committed as a Christian. And that was a bond slave. A bond slave was a slave for life. Also, a bond slave had no rights. Think about that one. In other words, everything I have, it's yours, Master. My finances, my life, it's yours. I have no rights. I can't say, well, I'll be a slave for you on Sunday, but I'm not going to be a slave, you know, during the week. I can't say, well, you know, I'll be a slave for you unless I'm watching TV. Or Jesus, I'll be a slave to you, you know, as long as I'm not with my friends. Because you see, when we make that commitment, we are surrendering our life to the Master. We are saying, Jesus, I am yours. I am committed to you for life. But then also a bond slave was to be completely obedient. You see, really, probably the best job description for a slave could be summed up in one word, and it's the word submit. And what that word means is to place yourself under. Now think about that phrase just for a minute. To place yourself under. No one else is placing you there. No one else can do that. You are submitting. You are placing yourself under. And that's what we're doing to Jesus Christ. When we come to Him, we are saying, Jesus, I am giving myself to your authority. No one's forcing this on me. I am placing myself there. I'm going to serve you, and I am going to obey you. Whatever you tell me to do, it's your will, not mine. Jesus says in Luke chapter 6 that there were some who were calling Him Lord, But he asks him the question. He says, why do you call me Lord and not do the things which I say? In other words, if I'm really your master, if I'm the master and you're the slave, then why do you disobey me? And I think many times that's the question we have to ask ourselves. You know, when we come to Christ, we are saying, God, I'm going to surrender to your will. Not, Lord, well, I'll follow you as long as it seems right. Or, Lord, I'll follow you as long as it doesn't inconvenience me in any way. Or, Lord, I'll follow you as long as everybody else is walking this way, as long as everybody else around me is doing this, and I don't stand out. No, if he's the owner, if he's the master, and we're the slave, then it's complete obedience. Lord, whatever you tell me to do. You know, the amazing thing is you get into the New Testament and you see all these great men of God. Men that I highly esteem, and I bet you do too. And these men, they could have called themselves anything. I mean, they could have laid out a resume a mile long for themselves, like Peter in 2 Peter chapter 1. Peter could have began this book by saying, do you know who I am? I am Peter. I was one of the original 12. I actually walked with Jesus. I walked to Him on the water. He chose me for Pentecost to deliver the very first gospel sermon. Do you know who I am? But instead, this is what Peter says. This letter is from Simon Peter. A what? A slave. An apostle of Jesus Christ. James, man, the half-brother of Jesus, as he begins this book, he could say, man, do you realize I am Jesus' brother? I slept in the same house as Jesus. He is my bro, you know? I mean, he could have just laid that out there, but instead, he takes this road. This letter is from James, a what? Slave of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ. Then you look at Paul, man, a guy that could have a resume a mile long. I was taught by Gamaliel. I am a Jew among all Jews. I mean, he could lay out a resume that is a mile wide. You know, Jesus chose me. He confronted me on the road to Damascus. Do you know who I am? And Paul says this letter is from Paul, a slave of Christ Jesus. There's a difference between a servant and a slave. A servant is someone who serves somebody. A slave is someone who is owned by somebody. And these men are saying that ownership belongs to Jesus. He is my master. And some of you may be thinking, well, slave, why in the world would I ever want to become a slave? In fact, slave, I will never, ever choose to be a slave. Let me tell you something this morning. You will be a slave. You are a slave to something. As Ricky read just a few minutes ago, you are either a slave to sin, you are a slave to your pleasures, to some habit, to some job, to some relationship. You are a slave to something, or you are a slave to Jesus Christ. The question you have to answer this morning is, who's going to be your master? I hope that's our answer, Lou. We all say, I want to be a slave to Jesus. Let me share this with you before we close out. And I hope this encourages you. When we truly become a slave to Jesus and we submit everything to Him, that's when we find freedom. Which is different from being a slave to all these other things in the world. I mean, if you were to ask me, I could tell you, man, my master is awesome. My master, Jesus, He provides for me. He protects me. He forgives me. And I could just go on and on telling you about how awesome my master is. I mean, when I call Him master, Jesus even says, I refer to you as my brother and my sister. Galatians chapter 3, verse 26. When I refer to Him as Master, John chapter 15 tells us that He refers to us as a friend. That's the Master that you're invited to serve this morning. He's an awesome Master. Heard a story about a slave. I'll close out with this. Who lived pre-Civil War. And he was put up on the auction block to be sold. And all these slave owners began their bidding. And the price for this slave just kept going higher and higher and higher. And it got to the point to where the bidding went way beyond what this slave was worth or even valued at. But they kept bidding higher and higher. Finally, there was a man who came up and he just offered this outrageous amount to the point to where no one else would even dare to bid. And he won. That individual that I'm talking about was someone who wanted to do away with slavery. And so he sold everything that he had to purchase a slave. And then he went, when it was time to sign the documents, he signed his name, and at the top he wrote, freed. And he gave it back. And he left. And finally, at the end of the auction, they found the slave and they said, look, here's your papers. You've been freed. And he said, the individual who bought you, he gave up everything that he had. And so this slave goes and he finds this man who bought him, who paid the price for his freedom. And he says, I can't believe that you did that. I don't have anything to give you in return except myself. Isn't that our story? Here we were on the auction block. The price was going higher and higher, and Jesus, the Lord, the Master, gave everything that He had to buy our freedom. He purchased us with His blood. That's why 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 20 says, you're not your own. You were bought at a price. And that price was everything that Jesus had. His life. Who are you going to call master? Again, there's no greater master, there's no greater Lord than Jesus Christ. If you serve Him, if you live for Him, you will find freedom. Freedom from your sins, and you will find joy like no other. And today, if you're not a Christian, if you've never named Him your Lord and Savior, I would encourage you to do that coming forward today, confessing your belief in Him, being willing to repent of your sins and to obey His will, living for Him and putting on Christ in baptism. And all your sins will be completely washed away through His blood. Acts chapter 2, verse 38. But there may be some of you here this morning who maybe you are a Christian, but your walk has been a whole lot different than the walk of a slave. Hasn't been about the master's will. Maybe it's been about your will. Or maybe you haven't been committed. And maybe today you'd like to recommit. Come back to the Lord. Or it may be that you just need to come forward today and with the prayers of one of our elders or me, one of our elders will be down front and they'll pray for you or find them after the services. You don't have to do it now in front of everyone. But find one of our elders or you can find me and we'll pray for you to have the strength to live for Jesus as a Christian. And so this morning, if you need to respond, won't you come as together we stand as we sing.